All right. I'm Joe Turner, and this is the City Manager Unfiltered podcast, a podcast for city managers and other public sector executives. It is the most influential local government podcast in America, and thank you for listening. I appreciate your support. If you have not hit the follow or subscribe button on your platform of choice, please do so today. And if you have not left a rating and review for this program on your platform of choice, please do so today. I would greatly appreciate it, especially if you're one of those Apple users. I'm trying to get to the 200 rating and review mark by the 1 year anniversary in June. I'm very proud of the support you guys have given me. It's incredible to have close to 170 ratings and reviews on the podcast in the short time that we've been on the air. But if you have not left a rating and review, please leave one today. I would greatly appreciate it. You know, this episode is going to be about the cover letter and the eight deadly sins, why your cover letter sucks or may suck, why it's highly likely that your cover letter sucks, because, man, cover letters are tough to read. And this is kind of a follow-up episode to the one that I did a couple weeks ago on the resume hacks, how to keep your resume up to date and customize it to the specific jobs you're applying for. But those cover letters, I'm sure all of you guys listening to this have read some cover letters in your day. And they can be tough to read because they're pretty boring. And so I want to talk about how you can make your cover letter better by going over these eight deadly sins. Hopefully you can spice it up a little bit and stand out from the crowd, because at the end of the day, that's what we got to do when we're applying for jobs and we're competing against others for these vacant positions, right? You got to differentiate yourself from the others, stand out from the crowd, and give them a reason to choose you. So yeah, stick with me. We're going to go down the list of eight deadly sins of why your cover letter sucks or why it may very well suck. We're hopefully going to spruce them up a little bit, right? Before we get into the episode, I want to take care of some housekeeping items. First and foremost, we're going to talk about next week's episode. I want to plug it. It's with Kevin Richardson. He is a public works administrator in South Carolina. What happened was he reached out to me about a year ago, had some questions about his career arc, his career trajectory, asked for some feedback, some counsel on my part, because he wants to get to the role of city manager at some point from his current position. And he asked me to review his resume. I took a look at it. I had some questions. These questions led to me actually posting a city manager mailbag question on my LinkedIn page, which many of you participated in and gave us some feedback on, because we had a question regarding his situation. We were crowdsourcing some opinions. So we're going to talk about that whole development and what that led to and so forth and so on. We're going to have a little bit of a discussion about college education, college degrees, whether or not the degrees are overrated, overvalued. I tend to think they are. We're going to have a little bit of a conversation about that. And then we're also going to get into a pretty serious and heady topic of race relations and black managers and in the public sector, whether or not black managers have to work twice as hard to get to the same point as white managers and so forth and so on. We're going to have a little bit of a discussion on that. And I think it's going to be a pretty interesting conversation. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation with Kevin Richardson next week. So don't miss it. Also, coming up, I've interviewed a city manager who has been arrested in the past on a serious charge while they were the city manager. So obviously a pretty touchy subject, pretty touchy situation. This city manager gets real, gets vulnerable. We're going to talk about their situation where they got arrested and survived. They did not get fired. And we're going to have a conversation about that, because it's a pretty serious topic. And I think a lot of you guys will find it fascinating. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be a two-part episode sequence. I'm not sure when I'm releasing that, but stay tuned, because I think you're really going to enjoy that fascinating, fascinating discussion with that city manager, because he gets really real, really vulnerable, really open. And I was blown away by his candor. So stay tuned for that interview. That's going to be coming down the pike. The third thing I want to talk about is ELGL, Engaging Local Government Leaders. They're having their annual LocalGov 100 Influencers Roundup, where you can vote and nominate individuals to be the local government influencer on their list. I want to encourage all of you guys to nominate Micah Gaudet and Benjamin Effinger for the ELGL Top 100 Local Government Influencers list. Micah Gaudet should be in the top 10 without question, in my opinion. He's the first individual, the only person in the public sector space to create a ChatGPT course, AI course for public sector employees. And then you got Ben. He's just rock solid. He's just a great guy. He's very active on the platform of LinkedIn, always trying to help others, trying to mentor others. He's trying to share his story He's involved with an organization called Here Brotherhood too, which is a little bit outside of the public sector. Major advocate for veterans, obviously, and helping mentor other veterans and encouraging them to get into the public sector. So those are the two individuals I think should be nominated for the ELGL Local Gov 100 list. I'm going to put a form where you can actually submit your nomination into the show notes. It's a Google form that they want you to fill out. So I would invite you all to fill that form out and submit them because I think they deserve the honor. Those nominations are due 31st, okay? Another thing I want to bring to your attention is I do have a YouTube page out there. I just started it. I only got a few videos up. I'm still building it. It's going to be a work in progress. But go to youtube.com/@CityManagerUnfiltered and hit that subscribe button. Also, we have the Buy Me a Coffee, folks. Thank you for the donations to support the podcast. I really appreciate it. If you like the podcast and you want to support what I'm doing, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/CityManagerUnfiltered and make a donation, either a one-time donation or a monthly contribution. I have a couple monthly supporters. Thank you so much, guys. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And then finally, before we get to the episode, I want to talk about the newsletter that I launched a couple weeks ago, the City Manager RTRs and Job Board. That is where I'm posting on a weekly basis all the city managers and some assistant deputy city managers who have transitioned out of their roles that have opened up future job opportunities that you might be interested in. So if a city manager has resigned, been fired, or retired, RTR, then I'm putting them in this list so you know which job openings are going to be opening up in the future, and that way you can get ready to apply. In addition to RTRs, I'm also including jobs that are being posted by recruiters and local government agencies that are seeking to fill vacancies. If you and your city are trying to fill a senior level or executive staff position, department heads, assistant city managers, city managers, those type of roles, and you want to put it in the weekly newsletter, it's only $100 to get national exposure. My subscriber base is almost up to 5,000 at this point. I only launched it 2 weeks ago, right? So I launched it a little bit more than 2 weeks ago, already got 5,000 subscribers or damn near 5,000 subscribers. So if you want to get good attention on your job, if you want to get some notice, you want to get some good exposure, you want to submit your listing in my newsletter. And the other reason why you want to submit your listing in my newsletter is I have a lot of passive candidates, right? I have a lot of people who are really just checking the newsletter because they're curious about what's going on in the industry, about who's moving where and what's going on. They might not be actively looking for a position. They're not actively trolling the job boards, but you have a captive audience, right? They're on LinkedIn. They don't have to jump off the platform to go look for anywhere. You can put your job announcement in the newsletter for just $100, and you're going to get some good exposure to my growing list of subscribers. So there you have it, folks. That is the housekeeping items for today. Now we're going to jump into the episode on the cover letter and the 8 deadly sins. Your cover letter sucks. Let's talk about it. In this episode, we're only going to talk about why your cover letter sucks. I have a list of 8 reasons. We're not going to talk about why cover letters are so important or how to write a great cover letter. That will be for a future episode. But spoiler alert, I'm a big believer in cover letters and think they help give me an edge when I'm competing for vacant positions. So honestly, I like it when the competition thinks cover letters are a joke or a waste of time and don't put much effort into it. And before we delve into my list of 8 reasons why your cover letter sucks, I should probably elaborate a bit on my philosophical approach to my job search. You see, the absolute last thing I want to try to do is be the perfect candidate for every job out there. That's a fool's errand, in my opinion. My approach is to be bold, strong, and stand out. I'm perfectly comfortable with the idea of being rejected for a position early in the process instead of muddling through and getting clipped at the end. Why waste time and mental or emotional energy on a job you weren't the best fit for? I want to make an impression with my applications and interviews. When I submit an application, I want those reading it to come away feeling something. Ideally, I want them to be intrigued and extremely curious to learn more about me. But even if I'm off-putting and they recoil from my application, that is fine too. In virtually every recruitment where I participated and have had the opportunity to do a post-mortem assessment, I can tell you that my presence in the equation was the dominant force. The focus and attention was on me, and I was the most talked about candidate. And though my ultimate goal is to get hired, my true ultimate goal is to get hired into the right organization that is the best fit for me. You'll have to remember, this isn't 2 a.m. last call at the bar where you're looking to take home whoever will go with you. We've already had sex. We've already been dating. We have to make the decision on whether or not we want to get married to this organization. And I want to be married to the organization that likes the real me, likes me for me. So I don't really have a huge desire to camouflage some of my rough edges. I want them to know that I say what I mean what I say, and that what you see is what you get with me. Why put your family through the stress and chaos of a move just so you can go work with a city that is a bad fit? That makes no sense to me. Nobody wants to wake up next to the girl who was looking fine at the club the night before and then find out you've been catfished the next morning. So, back to the cover letter. There's a lot of chatter on LinkedIn about how cover letters are passe, archaic, not needed, and a waste of time. I see a lot of this from the private sector recruiters. You know why there's a lot of talk about cover letters being pointless and outdated? Because the overwhelming majority of them are terrible, or at best, mediocre. Very few are great. Candidates who don't want to write cover letters are going to argue that automated applicant tracking systems, or ATSs, otherwise known as application trashing systems, make cover letters a waste of time. This is because the ATS does a keyword scan of your resume, and that is the primary determinant of whether your application moves forward in the process. Well, we're not using private sector recruiters, and I don't believe their sentiments are valid. Mayors and council members read cover letters. Hiring a city manager is arguably the most important thing they will do. You are being delusional if you think that cover letters are not important or a waste of time. They are a very valuable tool in the candidate's arsenal, if done right, and can really differentiate you from your competition. Now let's talk about these 8 reasons why your cover letter sucks. I'm gonna divide these into 2 different categories. The first is just gonna be low-hanging fruit, okay? Number 1, misspellings, grammatical mistakes, dumb mistakes. Listen, I'm not saying you have to write like an English major, but you are an executive. Have some self-respect and put together a high-quality letter. Take some pride in your work product. Pro tip. You should be doing some research on your council members and your governing body to learn more about their background. If you see that one of them is a professor, a teacher, a newspaper reporter, or something similar, don't you think you need to be on your A game? Now, with the advent of Microsoft Word, spell check, you don't see a lot of words that are actually misspelled anymore. What you are seeing more and more are words that are being used incorrectly. So they're spelled correctly, but being used improperly, and they're not being caught by the spell check. For example, 4 versus 4, F-O-R, F-O-U-R. 2-2-2, that's a biggie. People don't know how to use T-O-O in a sentence. For the love of God, lose versus loose. Can someone do an intervention in this country? Okay, if you lose something, if you lose the game, it's L-O-S-E, not loose. Okay, I don't know why people are spelling lose loose, but please check yourself. Then you have the traditional there, there, they are. Your, you are, the contraction, pronounce it in a sentence, read it out loud. Then you have then and than. You have its and its contraction. Its, with a contraction apostrophe, means it is. Judgment, not judgment with an E in it. Okay. There's no E in judgment for judge, okay? It's just J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T. And then irregardless, there's no such word as irregardless. So then you have the dumb mistakes, misspelled name of a contact person you're addressing your cover letter to, misspelling the business name or address information of the company in your cover letter. And then you have copying and pasting sections from a previous cover letter into your new one where you don't change out the name of the organization. Okay. I've done this. This is embarrassing, but I'll own it. You know, I've sent a cover letter to an organization, but I'm actually referring to the organization that I previously applied to. Yikes, not good. I had a mayor I used to work for who used to call himself the mayor of a different city because our city attorney would often draft ordinances and resolutions that he was copying and pasting from another city that he worked for, and he would forget to change out the city's name. If you're going to mention the city by name in your cover letter, which you should, do not forget to double check your work. Let's go on to the next one, number 2. Your salutation is weak.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. The fucking leads are weak. You're weak.
All right. Please, for the love of all that is holy and sacred, stop addressing your cover letter to whom it may concern. Or the almost as bad, but still bad, dear sir or madam. You know who it concerns. It concerns the mayor and city council. Who do you think's hiring you, okay? There's no excuse for not taking the time to address your letter properly. Failure to do so communicates to me that you are lazy or simply do not have any pride in your work product. You are a weak candidate, and I really do not want anything to do with you because I believe this is reflective of how you will approach other aspects of your job. There is no excuse for it, and I will die on this hill. It is not up for debate. absolutely no excuse for using to whom it may concern. This is such a major pet peeve of mine. I absolutely loathe this, and I will immediately dismiss you as being mediocre and not worthy of serious consideration. Never address your letter that way. I'm also not a fan of dear hiring manager or dear search committee, not for city manager searches. I will give some passes to those who are maybe at a management analyst level and are applying for a position where they don't know exactly who that position reports to. I will give some allowance there, but even then, I think you need to take the extra work to figure it out. There needs to be a person on these cover letters that you're talking to. Number three of low-hanging fruit, it's too long. Your cover letter's too long. Stop sending cover letters that are more than a page long. And while we're on it, you need to keep your resume to 2 pages max too, but we'll save that for another day. Attention spans are shrinking in this new attention economy, and you can't capture their attention or keep their interest in one page, they ain't reading a second page. That is boring. Your cover letter is too long, not T-O long. It is T-O-O long. And I might even give you credit for saying it's T-W-O long. A 2-page cover letter isn't a cover letter. It is a boring mass of text that is not going to get read because you've lost the reader's attention. And the reason you have lost the reader's attention is because you have committed one or more of the mistakes that are on my list that we're talking about right now. If you write like Mark Twain, then I'd give you permission to have a 2-page cover letter. But you don't write like Mark Twain. Keep it to 1 page. So that's the low-hanging fruit of our list. To recap, check your spelling and grammar and do not make any dumb mistakes. Number 2, use a real salutation addressed to the mayor by name along with the council. 3, 2 or more pages is too long. Keep it to a 1-page cover letter. Now we're going to tackle some of the more substantive reasons for why your cover letter sucks. Number 4, regurgitation of your resume. The cover letter is not meant to take your bullet point items on your resume and convert them into boring paragraphs that nobody wants to read. Do not regurgitate your resume in your cover letter. Regurgitation of your resume adds no value and does not help you at all. I'm not saying you can't reference items or accomplishments, but it needs to be in the context of demonstrating how you meet the needs of the organization that is looking to hire you. And that leads into the next major mistake many applicants make when writing a cover letter. 5. Too much focus on you, not on them. Now, this is going to be a little tricky because you're writing a cover letter that is designed to demonstrate how you are the best candidate for the job and you want to and need to talk about yourself. But how do you do this in such a way that makes you an attractive candidate to the organization? Nobody wants to be on a date with someone who spends the entire night talking about themselves. Does your cover letter pass the eye test? I'm talking about the EYE eye test and the letter I eye test. Too many of you are using the word I to start a sentence or in the middle of a sentence way too often. Nobody wants to read a cover letter where nearly every sentence starts with the word I or has the word I in it. I don't have a magic formula for you for the maximum number of I's you can use, but limit its usage. Read your cover letter out loud and ask yourself how it sounds. If you're saying I all the time, it sounds terrible and it's going to suck. When you write a cover letter, you need to understand that your entire mission is to communicate that you have identified or understand the problem or problems the organization is facing and to articulate how you are a solution to those problems. They don't give a damn if the job you're applying for will help your career or help you accomplish your career goals. I've seen people write things like, "This is the perfect opportunity for me," or "I believe I can advance my career at your company." So what? Who cares? They don't care about that. Tell them how you're going to solve their problem and add value to their organization. They have a problem and they need a solution. One caveat to this for city managers and aspiring city managers is if you or your family have some sort of personal connection to the community, I would reference that in your cover letter. Number 6, it's generic. The generic cover letter that looks like they were sent to every other job you applied for during your job search suck. What an absolute waste of time. Anybody reading it can tell that it's a generic letter. It insults the reader, wastes their time, and adds no value to the process. It's doing you no favors. Here's a tip. Print out your cover letter. Grab 2 highlighters of different colors. Grab a yellow and an orange. The yellow highlighter, you're going to use to highlight all the text that is in the letter, your cover letter, that could be sent to any other job that you're applying for. The yellow highlighter represents that bland, common, used for everything language in your cover letter. Now take the orange highlighter, think of that O in orange as standing for original. I want you to highlight every sentence or partial sentence in your cover letter that is unique to just the job that you're applying to. I'm not saying you can't have any yellow highlights. It's okay to use a boilerplate language here and there. But if you see a wall of yellow, it sucks. Okay. The more orange you see, the better off you will be because you're going to connect with the reader. The reader is a part of the organization and your orange highlights are a unique language specific to them and their organization and their problems. They're going to be able to tell that you researched the position. If your cover letter looks and reads like it could have been sent to any other city, it sucks. Generic cover letters are awful. Nobody wants to read them. Do better. Number 7, it's formulaic. Let me guess. You're using some version of a common template. The other day I was looking at some infographic or guidance that Harvard had put out for cover letters on LinkedIn. It was awful. Why was it awful? For one, it was suggesting that the applicant should use the opening sentence of the first paragraph to explain where they saw the job posting. Terrible. What is this, 2000? I remember getting that language in business school back in 2000 or 1999. Your opening sentence is your hook. It is the most powerful tool to connect with your reader and to convince them to read more about you. Why are you going to waste the most powerful space in your cover letter, the opening sentence, to tell them information about where you found the job? That is useless to you, adds no value to you and what you're trying to accomplish, and it's freaking boring. Here's another gem I see from time to time. Candidates introducing themselves in a letter. Dude, they know your name. It's already on the cover letter and resume headers. Grab their attention with your opener. Be strong, not long. Number 8, and I'm not going to get into this very much because this is going to lead into how to create your best, create a great cover letter. Number 8 is no differentiation. The single most important reason why your cover letter sucks is that it does not differentiate you from your competition. When you stop and think about the job hunt, what is your mission statement? What is the fundamental objective? It is to differentiate yourself from your competition. You need to stand out. You're not a robot. You're not a cog. You're not in the machine. If you don't differentiate yourself from other people, why should they hire you? So if your cover letter is boring, generic, etc., you're not standing out. All right, so to recap, let's talk about the 8 common mistakes and bad practices you need to avoid on your cover letter. Your cover letter sucks because you're doing one of these 8 things and we need to avoid them and cut them out. Number 1, misspelled words, poor grammar, dumb mistakes. I know it sounds obvious to most of you listening. You're going to say, who's doing that? Trust me, people are. Don't make those mistakes. 2, your salutation is weak. No more to whom it may concern. Dear sir or madam, avoid those. 3, it's too long. Keep your cover letter to 1 page max. 4, stop regurgitating your resume in the cover letter. Those are boring. 5, focus on the organization and their problems and how you are the solution. You are not to talk about the job and how it's going to benefit you and what you get out of it. Focus on them. Solve their problem. 6, it's generic and looks like you could have sent it to every other job you're applying for. Brutal. 7, it's formulaic. It follows the same old tired structure that everyone else is using. Again, your eyes glaze over if you read enough of these over and over and over. Stop doing this because this leads into number 8, no differentiation. You want to stand out. You want to stand out from the crowd by not doing these dumb things that everyone else is doing, these weak cover letters, okay? You stand out by not having a crappy cover letter and putting together something solid. Okay, so we've covered the 8 deadly sins, the mistakes that you want to eradicate or eliminate from your cover letter. I firmly believe that if you address these issues, your cover letter is going to go from being mediocre to solid to decent. I think we can take it up another notch. I believe we can make great cover letters. In a future episode, we'll talk about that. I will inform you about the different approaches or techniques that some of the experts recommend. The hot thing right now seems to be the T-style approach. I do not use the T-style, but we'll get into that. I kind of always been marching to the beat of my own drum. And so I like to do things a little differently. I feel my approach works for me. It may not work for you, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. So that's a wrap. Don't forget to catch next week's episode where I interview Kevin Richardson. And thanks for tuning in. I'm Joe Turner. This is the City Manager Unfiltered Podcast, a podcast for city managers and other public sector executives. Catch you next time.